The following is a paid program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation and WFED. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individuals or advertisers as indicated. WFED does not endorse or take responsibility for those statements or opinions. Federal News Radio accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracies or errors in admissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Deloitte's Fed Central program on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Here is your host, Jane Norris.
Welcome to the new Fed Central, brought to you by Deloitte. In this program, we talk to executives and federal government leaders about the issues and initiatives that are making a real impact on the business of government today to help government help America. Today, we take a look at FISMA, the Federal Information Security Management Act, with two key leaders who have been instrumental in the development of FISMA reporting standards. Joining us today, the Honorable Tom Davis, Director of Federal Government Affairs with Deloitte. Tom served 7 terms in Congress representing Virginia's 11th Congressional District. During his tenure, he served as chairman of the House Government Reform and Oversight Committee, as well as the chair of the Subcommittee on Technology and Procurement Policy. Also joining us by telephone today, Congressman Jim Langevin of Rhode Island. Congressman Langevin serves on the House Armed Services Committee, where he chairs the Strategic Forces Subcommittee. He is serving his 2nd term on the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. And Mr. Langevin is the co-founder and co-chairman of the bipartisan House Cybersecurity Caucus. He's taken on a leadership role in raising awareness of cybersecurity issues in Congress. And gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to talk with both of you.
Thank you, Jane. Great to be with you.
All right. So let's start with you, Congressman Langevin. FISMA, the Federal Information Security Management Act. And I think Mr. Davis here is somehow affectionately known as the father of FISMA. Is that true, Tom?
Among other things.
So, Congressman Langevin, tell us what you think about FISMA as it stands today.
Well, first of all, I want to commend Tom Davis for his visionary commitment to writing and getting enacted into law the first FISMA law, because it really did set a benchmark on the need to set some type of a standard and a basic assessment on understanding what our cyber vulnerabilities are at this point. So he's honored to be on the show with him today, and great to be with you as well, Jane. Well, basically, cyber security needs to be a priority across our federal government, not just in the national security sector, and that's why I was pleased to author an amendment this year's House Defense Authorization Bill with Representative Diane Watson, and I included language that would establish a presidential office for cyber space to coordinate and oversee the security of federal agencies' cybersecurity efforts. This office basically will have strong budgetary oversight powers that are backed by financial pay-for-performance authorities while remaining accountable to Congress. And the amendment also included the establishment of a federal cybersecurity practice board within the office that would be charged with developing policies for agencies to meet FISMA requirements and oversee the implementation of NIST-approved standards and guidelines.
Jim, let me ask, how's the administration feel about that? Are they supportive of this, by and large? They have their own cyber czar at this point, but he's really without portfolio and doesn't have any legislative designation.
Right, and we haven't got a clear indication from the White House as to whether they're going to sign off in support of this amendment. I do give President Obama high marks for the work and the support he's given to cybersecurity. He was the first major world leader to give a national address on the importance of our cybersecurity infrastructure and stating clearly that we'll use all assets of national power to protect our cyber infrastructure. And then he created the cybersecurity coordinator position within the executive office of the president. And that was something that, as one of the 4 co-chairs of the CSIS Commission on Cybersecurity for the 44th Presidency, that I co-chaired with Mike McCall, Congressman Mike McCall from Texas, and also General Harry Radege, and also Scott Charney from Microsoft. The 4 of us had chaired this commission. That was one of the key findings that office should be established. So I give the president high marks for doing that. As you pointed out, though, Tom, it is really an office at this point. It's a coordinating office without broad authorities. be able to really compel compliance of certain cyber standards across government. So we need to beef that up, and that's what this the amendment that I authored along with Diane Watson will do.
I mean, what I like about your amendment is there's a recognition for those of us who've been at this for some time that there's a lot of cyber activity going on in government, but it's not really well coordinated. You've got DHS putting a claim to it. You've got your intel agencies. You've got the Department of Defense. They're all appropriated differently through your different appropriations committee.
Right.
And you just get the feeling that there's a lot of activity there, but how well is it being coordinated? How well is the money being spent? And your legislation, and I think the step that the president's tried to take here is to try to bring it really under one roof so there is some coordination of all of this and the dots connect.
That's right. Along with having better coordination with and interaction with the private sector, particularly as it comes to critical infrastructure, is important. I look at cybersecurity, and I kind of envision it in kind of four steps or four areas. First, you have protecting .mil, and that's done now by the Cyber Command and NSA. Then you have protecting .gov, and that's the primary responsibility of DHS. And then you have a critical infrastructure and .com, and those two are very closely related. Unfortunately, where most of the damage can be done, of course, is in the private sector and critical infrastructure, and yet government really doesn't have, or there aren't really robust authorities to ensure that our critical infrastructure is protected. And it's a balance because you don't want to interfere too much in the private sector yet when there are clear vulnerabilities, and it could lead to either massive loss of life or it could do serious damage to our economy. We have to strike up a better balance there. But you know, going back to the FISMA law, FISMA gave us situational awareness to determine at least the level of tentative cyber penetrations. Department agencies would have to report the cyber penetrations and incidents and give us a basic understanding of their level of security. That's why I think it was visionary on your part, Tom.
Yeah, but it didn't touch, like you know, the private sector at all, which is where our greatest vulnerability is. I mean, the private sector has some incentive to protect itself, obviously for economic reasons, but that's a huge vulnerability. And I was always troubled by the lack of coordination between the public and the private sector. And Jim, it seems to me there were a couple barriers to that. One was, your FOIA, your Freedom of Information Act. If you're sharing intelligence back and forth, is this discoverable? Can it be part of lawsuits down the way if somebody's not doing something? There's just this hesitancy on the part of the private sector to share information with the government if they can't control where that information is going to go. Is that a fair comment?
It is, and I understand private companies, if you will, have in private critical infrastructure, or whether it's the banking sector or information technology, they have a fiduciary responsibility to shareholders and such to protect proprietary information or the reputation of the company. And yet, there is a need to know in some cases on the part of government if there's something, there's a penetration, whether it's theft of personal information or a penetration that could result in a shutdown of the electric grid, for example. We have a need to know in that respect. So we do have to strike more of a balance there, and I know that we're moving close, more aggressively in that direction.
So let me ask both of you what you think the government's role should be in that regard. You know, should the government take more of a prescriptive stance with with private companies?
Well, let me start. I mean, the original FISMA just applied to government agencies because it was clear the government was way behind the curve on this. Some of the private sector elements, particularly, as you noted, the banking industry, they have their own economic interest. It's in their own self-interest to have been proactive on this. But the difficulty is, of course, you get the private sector suspicious about government. You've got the information sharing issues we've talked about with the Freedom of Information Act kicking in, trial lawyers trying to use this as a discovery tool for if there is a failure, these kinds of issues. But there's obviously a need for coordination and for sharing information on this because they're getting penetrations every day, whether it's from terrorists or just hackers or people who are, economically trying to steal, privileged information. So the question is, where do you draw the line? And then the more difficult issue, I guess, for you, Jim, is how do you get anything through Congress in this atmosphere where you have not just the partisan differences, but you have all these jurisdictional fights between different committees wanting to write the law?
Well, you're absolutely right, and that has been an area of where I've criticized the Congress that we haven't streamlined reporting of departments and agencies to a particular committee or a more limited number of committees. And DHS, for example, has to report to a number of different committees and subcommittees, and it does make it hard to get things done. But with respect to the question of how we can better coordinate to what role the government should have, I've actually introduced a bill called the Strengthening Cybersecurity for Critical Infrastructure Act, which would basically allow the administration to create a regulatory regime for information systems that control our critical infrastructure, and it would basically expand the authority of the Department of Homeland Security to create, verify, and enforce measures to protect these critical information systems. Right now, the Homeland Security Presidential Directive 7 does provide authority to the Secretary of Homeland Security, for example, to coordinate the protection of critical infrastructure. But this approach doesn't give DHS really it does it wouldn't it's more of a kind of a more of a coordinating role where we need to have a little bit more ability of the Homeland Security to be involved to work more closely with critical infrastructure, especially when there are known vulnerabilities.
We're talking today to Tom Davis, who's the Director of Federal Government Affairs with Deloitte, and Congressman Jim Landman of Rhode Island about FISMA, the Federal Information Security Management Act. We'll be back in a moment with more. You're listening to Fed Central, made possible by Deloitte on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
An overflow crowd gathered at the National Press Club last week to hear renowned panelists from the government and private sector discuss the progress that's being made to close the cyber skills gap at the Deloitte Cyber Workforce Forum. The panelists agreed that while cyber Jedis with deep technical skills are critical in the fight against cyber threats, government also needs a multidisciplinary cyber workforce, cyber thinkers who tackle policy issues, and cyber professionals with serious managerial chops. Learn more at Deloitte.com/cyber.
We're back, and joining us in studio today here on Fed Central, the Honorable Tom Davis, Director of Federal Government Affairs with Deloitte, and Congressman Jim Landman of Rhode Island, both instrumental members of actually beginning the FISMA and continuing the FISMA reporting standards for the federal government. And so, Congressman Landman, in the previous segment, we talked about the Defense Authorization Act and the amendment that you offered that does have some changes to FISMA in it. What's the status of that?
Well, the basic amendment on the FISMA on my amendment, and then Diane Watson's part of it, the FISMA update. My portion of it would basically create a national office on cyberspace, basically creating a director's position to better coordinate our cybersecurity efforts, as opposed to just a coordinated position. This would have a director's role with more broad authorities, particularly budgetary authorities, in working with department agencies to get them to comply with the security protocols that they would put in place. On the FISMA side of it, it would update the FISMA law from basically just requiring current manually intensive compliance-focused periodic assessments to being more automated. So, again, basically, I think an updated, much-needed update to the current FISMA law. In terms of where we are right now with the National Defense Authorization Bill, we're waiting for the Senate to pass its authorization bill and then hopefully move to conference. It's unclear whether we're going to get this done before the end of the year. I'm hopeful that we will. And then, of course, we have to fight to keep the this cyber amendment actually in the National Defense Authorization Bill. But it does have bipartisan support, and I'm very pleased with that.
The Defense Authorization Bill generally goes through Congress before the appropriations. This year, everything's been a little late, but the bill was held up not because of your amendments, Jim. It was held up because of some other issues.
Right.
We're going to be in a brief, what they call, lame duck session after the election, where you'll have some of the members who are defeated still holding their seats until January, and there is some business that has to be wrapped up during that time, one being at a minimum passing an appropriation bill or at least a continuing resolution into the next year. What do you think happens to defense authorization? One of the big issues that held that up was the controversy over Don't Ask, Don't Tell, but it looks like the appeals court has taken that out of the hands of Congress for now. I mean, do you have any clue of whether that can move in the lame duck, or will they just kick it over and start again next year?
Right. Well, the don't ask, don't tell policy issue was one of the major things that was holding up the defense authorization bill. And as you pointed out, with the court stepping in and ostensibly perhaps taking that issue off the table for now, although there will be appeals, it may make it more likely that it would clear the way for the defense authorization bill moving forward. You're right in that we clearly have to at least pass a CR to continue appropriations. And I would place a high priority in passing both the defense authorization bill and the defense appropriations bill. Those will be, I'd say, top priority issues in lame duck.
Yeah. I mean, defense is half of discretionary spending, and a lot of our listeners out there care what's going to happen to the defense budget, what's going to happen. Jim, how frustrating is it sometimes? Jim is a member who's always worked across party lines, and working on issues like cybersecurity are not the sexiest issues that you can put in a brochure and mail out to your constituents and get any appreciation for. But how frustrating is it to have the budget situation come down to the end like this every year, where we can't seem to get it done on time and it gets hung up over a lot of side issues?
Yeah, it is very frustrating, and you and I have both experienced that time where you know there's so many important priorities that you have, and you think the government needs to act on before we adjourn, and rather just kicking the can down the road to the next Congress, if you will. I think we have a real responsibility to act on our spending priorities, and it is frustrating when there are things that are just vitally important to get done, and it gets delayed.
Yeah. I also appreciate bringing up this really what we call the extension of FISMA and taking it to the next generation, trying to operationalize it, some of the things that this legislation does, including bringing the private sector into some purview here and some coordination with the federal government. Is there opposition in other committees or other legislation that wants to do other things with this that in any way jeopardize this down the road? Or how do you see that interaction going?
Well, it's certainly possible. The cross-jurisdictional issues are always something we have to watch, be concerned with. The Energy and Commerce Committee has put their marker on some of these some cybersecurity issues as well, and then you have of course the House Administration Committee or Government Reform Committee that you had chaired. So the jurisdictional fights, if you will, or cross interests do tend to slow things down at times, and unfortunately, our system of government wasn't designed to move quickly.
Oh, they've succeeded in making sure it doesn't.
I want to ask though about the automated and continuous monitoring of networks. Whether I know that isn't that part of your amendment, and is that something that you feel needs to be?
Well, let me start with it. I mean, the problem with FISMA is it was. It was that you needed to check the box, as Jim noted. It was started awareness at a time that some agencies were doing nothing about it, and it had certain requirements. But in terms of operationalizing it and going back and testing it didn't mandate that, and outside of state and a couple other departments, it's not done on a routine basis. So this really takes it to a different level, not just with the executive branch memorandum, but by legislating it, something I think is long overdue.
Congressman?
I completely agree. We should also be clear, and I know I believe Tom would agree, that even if there's 100% compliance, whether it's manual or automated, that it doesn't guarantee 100% that we are now secure. The problem with all of the issues we face, because cybersecurity is such a moving target, that you'll never be at the point where you can say you're 100% secure. What it does say is that we have to work harder to stay one step ahead of the bad guys. And by updating FISMA, it basically ensures that we're moving away from the kind of the manually intensive aspect of checking the boxes on cybersecurity standards, if you will, to moving toward a more automated agency reporting requirements. And I think that's definitely a move in the right direction.
Let me also just compliment Jimmy. He attached this to a larger bill that's generally a must-pass or a likely-to-pass bill. FISMA was done that way originally, too. We attached it to a much larger bill as an amendment to that bill. The difficulty with some of these small niche pieces of legislation is on their own they can easily be killed. And the Senate one member can get up and object, and the thing sits there. But if it's when on a larger, much passed bill, it becomes law. So I congratulate you on that. I think that's the way you have to legislate these days. I just hope we can get this bill in some form where it can pass, in the lame duck if possible. But if not, you laid a really strong predicate for the next Congress.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate you mentioning that. And Congress, in terms of moving these bills, it either happens these days that you seem to have to attach it to a larger bill that's more likely to pass, in this case the Defense Authorization Bill, or unfortunately Congress will move quickly when something bad happens and it gets everyone's attention and you realize you have to close a vulnerability and you have to move aggressively to fix a problem. What I look at this is all of this is kind of a pre-9/11 moment, pre-9/11 time, especially when you're looking at trying to protect critical infrastructure and our government networks before something bad happens and, the government would be attacked in a major way where things get shut down or critical infrastructure is damaged. I've always been trying to raise awareness among members, which is always a challenge because everybody's going in different directions, has different priorities. But it's also, again, an attempt to do so before something catastrophic would happen. And then everybody says, why didn't we move sooner?
Jane, it's also important because when you look at the future warfare in the future, it's not necessarily going to be tanks and guns. It doesn't cost a lot to engage in cyber war. The investment that you have to make for a country or a rogue state is very small compared to some other areas, yet you can do as much damage. It's harder to authenticate. Just a whole host of issues as we look at what the war landscape is going to be for the future. And I think through this legislation, this kind of awareness, we're preparing for where I'm afraid the world is going.
There are Senate bills. There's your amendment, Congressman. So there's obviously interest in passing something, but it's just how you get that accomplished. And so in a broader sense, is it something that can be done before Congress ends this session, or where do you think it's heading?
Again, I'm hopeful that we will take up the Defense Authorization Bill with my amendment intact within it. But it's going to be a fight, and we've got to keep the pressure on. I will say that in terms of raising awareness and people, as you pointed out, there's several bills that are working their way through Congress right now. We're developing an awareness among members and trying to press the point that this is an important topic that can't be ignored. It's still a struggle to continue to educate members, and that's part of the reason why I created the Cybersecurity Caucus in the Congress. It's an effort to bring in expert speakers and work with staff and members to raise awareness and educate people about the importance of this topic.
Well, Congressman, we thank you so much for joining us today. It was a pleasure speaking with you, sir. We'll see what happens with all of this, and best of luck in your race coming up.
Thanks so much.
Good luck, Jim.
And Tom, good to be with you.
Okay, thanks.
Congressman Jim Langevin of Rhode Island, and of course, Congressman Langevin serves on the House Armed Services Committee, among other committees, and is a key member of Congress on the issue of cybersecurity. And our own Tom Davis, Director of Federal Government Affairs with Deloitte, former member of Congress and known affectionately to many of us as the father of FISMA, the Federal Information Security Management Act. All right, thanks so much for joining us today here on Fed Central. And if you missed any portion of this program, you can hear the show in its entirety and on demand at federalnewsradio.com. Thanks again. See you soon.
This has been Fed Central on Federal News Radio 1500 AM with Jane Norris, your host. Make sure to tune in again in 2 weeks for another edition of Fed Central on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and on federalnewsradio.com/FedCentral.